Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
You're listening to Luke's English Podcast. For more information, visit teacherluke.co.uk. Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Luke's English Podcast. You're now listening to part two of a two-part episode, which features a conversation I had with two of my American friends recently about the US presidential election. The election day is going to happen on the 8th of November. So we have just less than a month until we find out who is actually going to be the next president of the United States of America. And of course, you can't have missed all of the media coverage which is going on all around the world about this extraordinary election campaign. Naturally, you must know, the two main candidates are Hillary Clinton for the Democrats and, of course, Donald Trump for the Republicans. And in this conversation, I'm talking to my friends Sarah and Sebastian, who are both originally from the United States. We're talking about the whole election, focusing on the two candidates, talking about what they stand for and what they think about the candidates and all that kind of thing. You should listen to part one of this conversation first. And if you've already listened to part one, then you'll know that we already talked quite a lot about Donald Trump. It was quite an opinionated conversation, also quite a fast conversation with lots of comments going on, lots of people, you know, the three of us talking quite quickly and talking over each other sometimes. It's quite a challenging conversation to listen to, I expect, but that's a good thing because you shouldn't always listen to things that you understand easily. It's important to challenge your listening sometimes and listen to things which are slightly above your kind of comfortable level of listening. So I expect this is a challenging conversation to listen to because of the speed and the way that we're talking over each other, and also because of the content. You know, a lot of the vocab is probably a little bit specialist when we're talking about American politics and all of the issues and things like that. But that's a good thing, okay? So keep listening, even if it's difficult. I'm now going to stop this introduction and we will dive back into the conversation. And I think the last thing that you heard in part one was us talking about Donald Trump. And now we're going to turn our attention to Hillary Clinton, okay? So I'll now let you listen to the rest of the conversation. And here it is. Maybe he really does believe all this stuff, or maybe he's just an out-of-control egomaniac.
But that's the thing, and that's why we're fascinated with him, I think, now. I mean, you know, we haven't talked at all about Hillary. It's been like a half hour, and we've just been talking about Trump. So fascinating.
There's so much to talk about, but we have to talk about Hillary too. But before we do that, right, I just wonder who is voting for Trump, or who supports Trump, and why do they support him? Who are these?
Well, I think this is kind of dovetails into Hillary, because I think some people are voting for Trump and a lot of people are voting for Trump because they don't like Hillary. And to be honest, I understand why the people don't like Hillary. I mean, there are lots of suspicious things that she has too. There's some scandals attached to her.
This is the thing. Course. People try to compare that it's not apples to apples. It's apples to oranges. And she, mm-hmm. yes, she has her things, but compared to Donald Trump, it's like she's always, you know, she's...
Well, that's why right. I'm not voting for Trump. But I mean,
know.
Like,
I'm just saying, because course. That's what people like to argue. I'm yelling in the microphone.
No, you're okay. You're good. I guess what Trump, what he's profiting from here is that Hillary represents the political class.
Yeah.
And Trump has presented himself to the electorate as an alternative to the mainstream political system. and mainstream media and things like that. Now, Donald Trump is not some sort of underground candidate. He's as mainstream as anyone else, you know? And he's as corporate.
More mainstream, really. He is corporate.
He is a corporation.
He is a corporation. Yeah.
And so when he points the finger at Hillary Clinton and says, you know, she's backed by corporations and all this stuff, Trump is a corporation. So if she's dirty, then he's just as dirty. And
Hillary's a better option, but I'm just trying to explain.
Yeah.
Coming back to your question of why people might not want to, why would they vote for Trump? Is because I think there's a dislike for Hillary, and they focus on her scandals and the fact. And I think there are people who want change in a certain way, and they think what Trump is promising is change, not necessarily for what I think is better, you know, the better America. But it's promising change, where honestly, I'm voting for Hillary. I don't think she's going to change much, and I don't necessarily agree or think that she's going to be the new hope for the United States of America, like Obama kind of made us feel 8 years ago. He kind of gave this, I don't know if you feel the same way I did, but like I remember like 8 years ago there was so much inspiration. We kind of felt like we found Martin Luther King again. It was amazing. he's such a good speaker. He's so charismatic. And so we really felt, you know, the whole Bill Clinton is well.
Another charismatic politician, yeah.
And so, I mean, Hillary doesn't have that, I feel like. Hillary is less talented in that regard. And so I don't think, at least what I feel when I listen to her, I don't feel like, yes, she's going to bring all the change that we've all been hoping for years and years. And so in some way, people are like, oh, well, I want change, and I want change in a certain way. And so they vote for Trump.
You know, did you know this, that a Democrat has never, like when a Democrat is incumbent, another Democrat has never been elected immediately afterwards.
Really?
Yeah. Only happened twice. And the only two times it's happened is when the previous Democrat president was extremely popular. Those are the only conditions it's happened before.
So Obama would, I think, fall into the extremely popular category. No,
his approval ratings are very low in the States. Yeah.
Interesting.
Because, you know, in the United States, people, for some reason, have decided they don't like him anymore.
Well, here's the thing that's interesting about Hillary Clinton. When she was Secretary of State, she had huge approval ratings, like 70%. People thought, yeah, she's doing a great job.
Mm.
It's just when she goes into the elected office role that people really tend to turn off on her. So it's kind of funny because her last job, Secretary of State, which, you know, it's a cabinet secretary. If something happens to the president and vice president, there, you know, there's an order. I don't know where it falls in the order, but like,
yeah, she's
in line to be, you know, the president. People thought she was great and loved her and lauded, and, you know, all around the world, and Obama, la la la. And then when she ran for Senate in New York, it was the same thing. There was a lot of Hillary hatred. I honestly think, and I do believe this, I think that she's held to a different standard because she is a woman.
Uh-huh,
and I think that, and she said this actually recently, like she doesn't have the same quote unquote talents of being as charismatic as Obama or Clinton or her husband, because it's like she just can't, like, you're just, as a woman, it's like
I don't think it's a question of being a woman. I think lots of people don't like her because she's a woman. That I agree, but I don't think the charm, the charismatic aspect.
But I do, because how many women would you describe as charismatic in a non-sexual way?
That's a very interesting point. That's a really, really good question.
In
a non-sexual way, how many women are charismatic and charming? Well, I don't know. There's a lot of movie stars that I think are charismatic and engaging.
Most of them are hot.
Most of them are attractive.
Not all of them are.
Yeah.
I mean, I could
list a bunch of female actors who are charming and interesting, rather than just being hot.
I'm not saying that people aren't voting or don't like her because she's a woman. It's not as
blatant
as that, but I totally believe that she's held to a different standard because she is a woman.
Did you see,
It's hard. It's hard to be a woman in the public figure. She can't be too pretty or she's dumb. She already, you know, someone could criticize her saying she's not grandmotherly enough. She's not, you know, she gets told that she's cold and all these things, but she can't be too friendly. It's like, as a woman, you're never doing it right.
Well, I'm. Can I give an example of someone who I think is not, you know, don't think see as a sexual way, and which is much closer to this, meaning the politics, is Michelle Obama. I don't know if you saw her speech at the Democratic National Convention, but wow, look at it. You'll see how she is amazing. She learned from her husband.
Totally.
Because it has to be a man. No, I'm kidding.
Right. She learned from him. No, no, Michelle Obama is phenomenal.
She had the room with her. Totally. And I was like, Michelle Obama is going to run for president. If whether or not Clinton wins, she, I'm going to tell you that like if it's Trump next election is going to be Michelle Obama. She is, if she wants to do it, because she had the room like on their feet, and she was so charismatic. I wasn't sexually attracted to her at all.
That's a very good example. I would agree with you with that.
And she was exactly what Clinton doesn't have.
But she's not going for the power position. And I think that's therein lies the difference. Again, it's the same thing, like Hillary Clinton can be palatable and great in her job as Secretary of State. But when she wants the power position, like how will things flip on Michelle Obama if she decides to run for president?
Yeah, okay, but we're talking about charisma. And she has it. She has something that Hillary never had.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's fair enough. Right. I would agree with that.
All right, but I see where you're coming from about the fact that it's much harder to be in a position of power when you're a woman because you never seem to get the image right and you know and all that sort of thing. But there are also other things that people often say about Clinton. Now, whether they are motivated by gender prejudice or not, I don't know. But what are some of the other questions that people have raised about her? Like one of them was that, as Secretary of State, people question the way she dealt with the Benghazi Libya situation, and that she's been criticized for how she dealt with the action in Libya and also the war on terror.
The
email scandal, which is basically the email scandal is that she had, when she was Secretary of State, she was supposed to use a public email address. Which server. Is open to scrutiny.
Yeah.
Like, you know, they're basically public documents.
Well, hers would be classified, but eventually could become unclassified and open.
If there was an inquiry,
the
that they would be
of
available.
The Freedom of Information Act,
exactly. Yeah. But she didn't use a public account. She set up her own private email server, which was stored at her home. And all of her emails went through that server. And since this was this became an issue, she gave the server to the public body, whoever it was, and you know, half the emails were missing. Of the remaining emails, a lot of it was redacted. You know, a lot of it was actually edited out. A lot of the content, you know, obviously she said that a lot of that was personal stuff that you know was not relevant, but it. Ultimately, that raises questions. Now, I don't know whether she was up to no good or whether she has something to hide, but the pure fact that the whole thing happened means that people have a trust issue with her, and they wonder, is she hiding something?
Yeah, that's one of the big critiques people have with her, and I agree. I mean, like, I don't necessarily. I'm honestly voting for her. Because of Trump.
Yeah.
I mean, because the option is is Trump.
It's the lesser of two evils. Yeah.
I'm not. I'm voting for her because I'm with her.
You're a Hill cat.
I'm a Hill girl.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's...
And just to like say, like, I'm all in, and I voted for her in 2008, too.
Yeah.
And she didn't win, so that's fine. I voted for happily voted for Obama. No problem there.
I don't really know where I stand, but I'm just trying to get a general view. And at least so that my listeners kind of get the whole picture too. But people have a problem with Hillary as well. And I guess, as you said, Trump is benefiting from this because he's presenting her as if she's like the embodiment of mainstream politics and the mainstream media. Mm-hmm. And there are a lot of skeptical people in the States and a lot of anti-government feeling and things like that. And Trump is kind of using that to his advantage.
Well, I mean, this is kind of going back in time a little bit to the Democratic primaries, but I was very much for Bernie Sanders.
Oh, yeah, me too.
Who was very anti-establishment and against the system of kind of what we're talking about earlier about the whole like PACs and super PACs
and corporate sponsorship.
Of candidates and saying he was very much for getting money out of elections, which I totally agree with, and I think it's gotten way out of hand, and it's not a democracy anymore. And so in some respect, I don't think, as I said before, I don't think Hillary Clinton is going to change much of that.
Yeah.
I think in, you know, if she gets elected 4 years down the road, it's going to be the same sort of democracy that we, well, quote unquote democracy that we have today, where I felt that Bernie Sanders was really pushing for a change. He has his flaws as well. He definitely has much less experience than Hillary Clinton does. But there was a sort of movement that he was starting and really putting lots of things in question. Yeah. And so, you know, I was very much for him. And so, as I said, now I'm for Hillary just because...
By default.
By default.
Because you don't want to see the U.S. implode.
Exactly.
Even though you're now a French citizen, so you're safe. But,
well, I don't know.
Nobody's safe.
Nobody's.
They're only across the pond.
Yeah. They're only... well, I... For me... I disagree. I do think Hillary Clinton will bring change, because as much as I think Obama did talk about hope and change, and he did change some things, I think
he tried. He was blocked by the Republicans.
He was blocked. And I, so I'm not fully criticizing him, but I think in some ways, like one of my criticisms of Obama, I always felt like he was like lukewarm towards women's issues. He never really engaged with them. And even sometimes with like African-American stuff, I think because he didn't want to be seen as the black candidate. So he kind of pulled back in some ways. So I feel like Hillary Clinton will do things for women. She's been, women and children have been her, education have been her platform since... She was the first lady of Arkansas. So that has never changed. And I think she will do a lot of things to help women and children and education in the United States. So I feel hopeful.
I hope so.
As a woman president who cares about those issues, who, you know, meanwhile in every state and, you know, they're trying to get at the federal level, they're trying to defund Planned Parenthood, which is an organization that helps get women's health issues, not just abortions, that's a very small part of what they do, but birth control and just women's health.
I guess a lot of the criticisms that have been leveled at Hillary have actually distracted us away from the things that she stands for.
Yeah.
And we actually, barely talk about it.
We hardly ever talk about it. We just talk about how crazy Trump is. Yeah. We talk about how corporate Hillary is.
And her scandals,
which, you know.
And the scandals, you know, all that stuff, like the controversy around the email account and her suggestions that she takes money through her foundation and things like that and stuff like that. But we don't often talk about her policies. Let's see if we can really quickly fly through some things and see if we can establish basically what the two candidates stand for on these issues. Don't worry, all right? Don't worry, it's not going to get too specific. It's kind of a quiz. If you want to think of it like that. So let's start with the economy, specifically tax. Taxation. It's pretty simple. Hillary, where does Hillary...
It's the economy, stupid. Do you know that line?
I've heard that line before. Where's that from?
George Bush the First.
Right.
It's the economy, stupid.
It's the economy, stupid. So it's now a catchphrase.
It was, and I can't remember if he said that during his campaign, which is why he didn't get reelected. Right. Or if... but anyways, so that's a political quote.
So... wealthy pay more tax. Who do you associate that idea with?
Where's our buzzer?
Wealthy people pay more tax.
That would be Hillary. That's a basic tenet of
Democratic policy, right? Which is like tax the rich and use the resources to fund, you know, local projects to help people who don't have much money.
Some would say in the U.S. that's socialism, but they don't know what socialism means. So,
I mean, in some way it is. I mean, socialism, generally speaking,
But,
I mean,
you know, people love to say Obama was a socialist. And I'm just like, I live in a socialist country with a socialist government.
Well, the different degrees of socialism, but I mean...
But also, because in America, people use the word socialist like it's a dirty word.
Yeah, well, they associate socialism with communism.
Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
Automatically, socialism means communism, and which means a totalitarian state. And
I don't think it's a dirty word. I think that it's fine, really. I mean, you know, obviously not every single political system is perfect, but there's a lot of good things about socialism, like, you know,
saying it as a negative. I'm just saying that people... don't even understand what the words mean and that the differences between the parties. That's a socialist principle.
But basically, redistribution of wealth and helping people who are disadvantaged by, you know, taxing the rich a little bit more and taxing companies and stuff. That's a Democrat policy. Whereas basically, basically Trump is kind of like, just give tax breaks to the wealthy. Let the rich be rich.
Like me, as I have evaded my taxes.
Well, because of this theory,
well,
especially
Trump,
about,
you mean? Not,
yeah, not me.
Not Sarah Donald.
No, Trump. Donald Trump has.
But I mean, often the people, the rich, think that if they're taxed less, they're going to give more. They have more freedom, and they're going to give more jobs. That they're going to run the economy.
Trickle down economics.
Yeah, that kind of idea, okay. Which is. I Sarah said it well.
Yeah. I don't know if everyone heard that.
Okay. After we had,
Sebastian, you have to go in a minute. Let's see how much of this I can achieve before you run out the door. Immigration. Allow immigrants to become U.S. citizens. That's a Hillary.
Hillary Clinton?
That's right. She thinks that immigrants who've come to the United States should be given a path to citizenship, whereas... Trump basically is like, no, get rid of all the undocumented immigrants.
Right. Yep. Maybe
throw
all
them out.
The immigrants.
All the immigrants, maybe.
I don't know. I mean, honestly, I worry about, Sebastian has children who have two passports. I'm going to have a child who has two passports. And I worry with someone like Donald Trump, like, would he say, no, your kids aren't U.S. citizens?
No, they're white.
They're white and they're not Muslim. You're fine.
But seriously, I would be worried that he would threaten something like that.
But just imagine if you're like a Mexican family and, you know, you've got kids and the mother of the family was an undocumented migrant, you know, or she's come into the country and she came in on a temporary visa and she's outstayed her visa, but she's wrapped up in a relationship with another Mexican guy who's got
an American... This actually sounds like a Telemundo series.
It does. It's like a TV series.
And often they're working, you know, like many...
She's undocumented because her visa has run out. She's with another Mexican guy who's got American citizenship. They've got a family. They've been together for a year, and her visa has run out. She's an illegal immigrant. According to Trump, he would break up that family, pull her out of the house and the country, and, you know, all for the good of America. We have to remember that this sort of thing does mean breaking up homes, pulling people out of buildings, you know, sending squadrons of people round to actually round people up and put them into penned-in areas before then moving them out of the country.
And never to be allowed to...
Never to be allowed back. And, you know, it's horrific to imagine armed police moving people around the place. I mean,
I wasn't trying to make my personal concerns sound...
No, that's
compare
my concern.
The two. No, but I mean, that's definitely a real threat, but I... Just think of it as was American living abroad.
Right.
If Donald Trump becomes president, what could be the implications? How far could they reach?
Right.
For my personal family.
Yeah.
And it's scary. But then there's for the people living in the U.S. who have it's a huge, huge concern for
absolutely,
sure.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Way more close than mine. Just want to say that.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. Gun control. Basically, Clinton is like, control guns. Trump is like, just have as many guns as you like. We don't care.
Yeah, he said after the Paris attacks that the Paris attacks could have been prevented if the good guys, quote unquote, had guns.
Right.
So if we'd had the Bataclan wouldn't have happened if the people watching the concert, the Eagles
guns.
Of Death Metal.
So Paul Taylor and Robert Haynes should have been armed so that they could have gone down the street and had a firefight with them. No thanks. I don't think Rob should be allowed to have a gun. Foreign policy, war on terror, too complicated. Healthcare.
Wait, is that Donald Trump's position? Yeah. I feel like that is. He's like, war on terror, too complicated.
You know what? I'm not going to go through all the issues because Sebastian's got to go. We've run out of time.
But you can continue.
But
we can continue, yeah.
For foreign policy, he thinks it's great if other countries have nuclear weapons.
Does he?
Yep.
Why?
He thinks it's a good idea to Iran and Japan, and he's like, yeah.
Why?
I don't know. That's as far as I got, and I think that's as far as he got. But he was asked the question, would, you know, if these other states had nuclear weapons, do you think that's good or bad? He's like, it's good.
There's also questions about whether he supported the invasion of Iraq in 2003, and apparently at the time he supported
he did,
it,
at the
and
time.
Now he claims that he didn't.
Yes.
So, you know,
and it was probably Hillary Clinton's fault.
Right, okay. healthcare. So Clinton believes in a version of universal healthcare, not full free healthcare, but some sort of, you know, Obamacare.
Yeah, I don't know the difference between Obamacare and what she's proposing. I don't know if it's...
Maybe she's just trying to salvage Obamacare from getting totally wiped out in the Congress.
She believes in something like universal healthcare, whereas, of course, Trump believes in private healthcare all the way. Mm. He's against universal healthcare. Abortion, we already know. Hillary fully stands up for the rights of women to have choice, whereas Trump says no abortion. In fact, if women have it, they should be punished.
Yeah.
The environment, should we take action against climate change? Is it a man-made phenomenon? According to Donald Trump, climate change is...
was invented by the Chinese.
Yeah.
It was invented by the Chinese.
Yep. To hurt American business.
Yep.
Right.
To curb American, you know, to say that America's polluting and so that forces American business to produce less.
It's not like the Chinese are the biggest proponents of climate change policy.
They're one of the biggest pollutants.
Yeah, they are actually.
Polluters.
So he thinks it's all made up.
He said that at the presidential debate or at some thing where he was on a podium that it's the Chinese who have invented climate change.
So he's a denier. He's a climate change denier.
Right. Okay. Like half the American Congress, most Republicans deny climate change. Mm. You know, science.
Because they don't agree with the science.
Yeah.
And you know, because science isn't really
real
what they believe in.
No.
You know, gender and same-sex marriage. So
I think Donald Trump actually doesn't care about it.
Yeah, I think that's one of the issues.
It's one of the issues. He's like, if you're gay, who cares? But don't be Mexican or Muslim or a woman.
I'm trying to find out about this. So should transgender people be allowed to use the bathroom of their choice? Trump is not clear on this. Hillary thinks that they should be able to. Should same-sex marriage be legal? Clinton now thinks it should be, although she initially opposed it. And Trump says no. He thinks that same-sex marriage shouldn't be legal.
But it is legal.
Yeah.
So he wants to go back.
He wants to overturn that law, I guess. All right.
But he can't think there's... I mean, he could try... There are ways to try... I'm just saying, like, there are checks and balances in the U.S. Supreme Court. Anyways, Sebastian's got to go.
I got to go.
All right. You got to go, Sebastian?
I do.
All right, then. Well...
It's a long story, but
you have things to do.
My woman... At home, has to say woman because that's a translation from French. We say femme.
Your femme?
My femme.
He's looking at me. He's like, I don't mean that as a... Sarah?
Doesn't mean that as a sexist thing. That's what the French do, okay?
It's not sexist, it's French. Okay.
Yeah, that's right. Okay. Say hello.
Because she's my paxi. I don't... She's not my wife. She's not my girlfriend.
You can't say girlfriend. When you've got two kids, you can't say girlfriend.
I can't say girlfriend because I have two kids, but I can't say wife because we're not married. So I say woman.
So
it's not woman either, but I don't know what you pack say is weird.
Partner?
Partner?
No one knows
but
what
she's
you're...
Not, she's more than a partner.
Nobody listening understands what you're talking about. Okay. Pact. What's a pact? A pact is basically a sort of a civil partnership. It's not a full marriage. It's a civil partnership. So you're gay married to your girlfriend.
I am gay married to my girlfriend.
Right. Thank you for...
Is that yours?
That's my joke.
Yeah. Shit.
He's not gay married to his girlfriend because there's real gay marriage in France, so you're fake gay married to your girlfriend.
Yeah.
Because the pact was created for gay
people.
And
also the fact that we're a man and a woman.
Right.
She has to go to work, and I have two kids, so I have to take care of the kids, and so she's waiting for me to get back home.
Right.
Yeah. To take care
of
the kids.
Go save your family.
Yeah, I'm going to save my...
Sebastian, thank you very much for coming on the podcast again. And see you soon.
I will.
Say hello to your woman. for us. All right, I'm going to pause the podcast. Okay, so podcast has been unpaused. Sebastian has left in order to go and see his woman and look after his family and all that stuff. So I think we just need to wrap this up, Sarah.
Sure.
Sorry for stealing your joke there. I didn't realize.
It's all deeply ingrained. I'm sure Luke has explained to everyone that we've seen each other's comedy sets so many times. Sometimes it just, these things flow out.
Yeah, that's right.
So it's just funny.
All of our comedy sets have been imprinted on each other's brains now, and so they just come out like that sometimes. Do you want some facts?
I like love some facts. Give me some factoids.
I'm gonna fact you now. That sounded inappropriate. It wasn't supposed to. It was just supposed to sound funny. Anyway, here are some political facts. So we've already established that both of the candidates are old.
They're old, yeah. Quite old.
Trump is going to be 70 in November, and Hillary will be 69. So we're going to have an old president. They're both from New York City originally.
Mm.
Kind of interesting.
The same hometown, yeah.
Yeah.
Considering how big the U.S. is.
Yeah,
I didn't know that.
Both from New York. Trump has never held public office.
That is not surprising.
Yeah, he's only ever looked after his own affairs.
Right.
Clinton, obviously, would be the first female president.
Yep.
And I'd already mentioned this one. It's rare that a Democrat can succeed another Democrat. And it only happens when the incumbent has high approval ratings, and Obama has some of the lowest ratings in recent history. So what do you think is going to happen, Sarah?
Well, there's the optimist in me and there's the pessimist. So this is a small sampling, but I have 1,300 Facebook friends or something, mm-hmm, coming from a lot of different parts of the U.S., and some of them are Republican and mixed around. And, you know, sometimes when these things happen in the U.S., you know, Black Lives Matter, someone gets shot, or Trump says something outrageous, and then people will post things on Facebook. And then, mm-hmm, I see my other friends posting stuff like, oh my God, I have to unfriend people because they're saying, I'm starting to see some people's true colors when they're talking about these issues. And I haven't really seen that. So on the one hand, that gives me hope that I have this large Facebook group of friends and they're coming from all different places. And I'm like, wow, there's a couple people that seem to be Hillary haters, but I don't know if they're Trump supporters. Yeah, and they live in Alabama and Michigan, which is just kind of interesting.
So you're quietly optimistic.
I'm quietly optimistic, but then even the other day, I was watching something and then I read some of the comments. I was watching a video and then I read some of the comments, and Trump has said so many times that Hillary Clinton is a liar. People really believe it when he's the one who actually is a liar. And I think you can go, there's a website like PolyFacts, and you can see they fact check everything that the candidates say. And I think Hillary, her honesty rating is quite high in terms of what she's saying, and Trump's is low. And so it's just scary when, one of the things that Trump said recently in the past week was that veterans who suffered from post-traumatic stress disorder just couldn't cut it.
Yeah. Incredibly offensive to military veterans.
And that just shows such a lack of understanding of what military service is and how it can affect people psychologically. From someone who's never served, I mean, he criticized John McCain for being captured in the Vietnam War.
I read John McCain's account of what he went through.
Oh, horrifying.
Unbelievable. So John McCain was shot down over Vietnam, and he was captured, and he went through incredible levels of torture.
For years and years,
and incredibly painful ordeal. And he never, ever, ever gave away any information about the United States. Yeah. He was incredibly patriotic. I mean, he's a Republican. I don't really believe in his policies and stuff. But I was incredibly impressed by how strong and how patriotic and how...
Because he went on to become a U.S. senator for Arizona, and he also ran for president, right, just to give some backup for people who might not know.
Yeah. But he was an incredibly brave soldier, and he went through a hell of a lot, and Trump was just so dismissive and so disrespectful of John McCain. Like, say what you like about McCain's policies, everyone's got some respect for the ordeal that he went through and how devoted he was to his country, I'm not mad about patriotic sort of militarism or anything, but still, Trump just dismissed it.
It's dismissing sacrifices that people make. I mean, that's why people have respect for people who go into the military, because, whether or not you agree, Luke was saying, there's patriotism, maybe you don't agree with the United States military action. At the end of the day, individual people are putting their lives on the line, and he's very... Yeah, dismissive, lack of understanding. So, anyways,
so you were saying that you were quietly
optimistic, but then I read some comments and people are saying Hillary Clinton's a liar. I'm a veteran, and you know I support Donald Trump. How?
I just think that the public perception of Hillary Clinton is so negative that it could really work against her. And I mean, you know, there's only one way to find out.
I'll be keeping
my fingers crossed because I don't want Donald Trump to be. I don't think he's fit to be president. I don't think he's, you know, a suitable candidate really, and he's only managed to slip through into this position because of various other factors. But I just don't think he would be a healthy person to have the nuclear codes.
He's impulsive. I mean, he's all the things that you don't want.
Yeah, you want someone who's dignified and measured, and
even if you don't agree with their policies, you would like someone who's dignified and measured.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know what you think about Theresa May. I don't really know anything about her.
I think she's dignified and measured, but I don't agree with what she's doing, right. But I think she's dignified and measured. She's certainly got that sort of statesman-like thing going on, unlike someone like Boris Johnson, who was not really statesmanlike.
And what is he? He's now a minister.
He's the minister for foreign affairs. Yeah, he's basically our secretary of state kind of thing. He's one of the people attempting to deal with the Brexit negotiations.
Oh,
so this is the guy who was voting for us to leave for all this time, and he's now in a position to negotiate a great deal with the people who he, you know, fought against before. Anyway,
okay. Well, I was just making the thing because I don't know, making the comparison because I don't know much about her, but I'm assuming you don't agree with her policies, and that's totally fine, but you can at least say, well, I know she's not just going to blow up England.
Yeah, because England, you know, made fun of your haircut. Like, I don't know. We will see. I think the polls are pretty level still. I think Hillary's got the edge, depending on who you talk to. But we will see. But hopefully America's not going to follow in Britain's footsteps and do something stupid.
I would really, really hope so.
Yeah.
Because I will cry. Mm. I will literally. I like for the Brexit. I was shocked.
Yeah.
And I felt poorly. I felt really bad for my English friends.
I felt terrible for ages.
I felt truly I couldn't believe it, and I felt really, really bad. So I think if Donald Trump wins, like, I'll cry. I'll be ashamed to be an American.
If he did win, it would feel really awful.
Gonna feel really bad,
and you know, we will see Trump on the television, you know, sort of congratulating himself. But then there'll be that realization of like, this guy is going to be our president.
Well, really, and it's like I said, you know, I talked to my dad about this too.
Your president, right. But he kind of like, you know, president of more than America, isn't it?
Well, that's
because they're the most powerful nation on earth.
Yeah,
and
they're involved. So the U.S. is, we're involved in everyone else's political affairs, and we make it a priority to be kind of have our hands in everyone's stuff. So it does affect people. But I think because he's not measured, he doesn't have any self-control. There are ways of how the government actually works and functions, and he can't bypass that. It's not a CEO role, and so he will get trapped up. He'll either just get frustrated and leave, or he's going to get tripped up because in the government, like, yeah, he'll have his cabinet that he's going to appoint or whatever, but then you have all the bureaucrats that run the government that have, you know, there's procedures. It's, you know, that's why.
So the whole system could come grinding to a halt.
The whole system could come grinding to a halt, and it could come grinding to a halt to stop him from doing something stupid.
Maybe, you know, the possible good outcome of this could be that if Donald Trump did win, that it somehow along the line, it would kind of there would be reforms of the political system and it would somehow shock the system into kind of making various changes to make things, you know, to improve things, to solve the problems. Because he's essentially gaining support because people don't believe in the political system anymore. Yeah. People think the political system is corrupt and doesn't work and ineffective, so they support Trump because they think he's an alternative to that. They don't realize that he's, you know, he's not really a viable alternative. It's like the Brexit thing in this way, that a lot of people voted to leave because they just did it as a protest against the mainstream political system, not because they thought that Britain should leave the European Union, but because they didn't like David Cameron and they just perceived it to be the mainstream thing. And so out of a general sense of dissatisfaction, people voted no. Like, they could have, the whole thing could have been solved if Facebook had put a dislike button on the European Union. You know, people could have just disliked the European Union and then that could have got it out their system.
Right.
That's a bit dismissive of the Leave campaign, but, you know, there it is. So I think a lot of people still are voting or supporting Trump because they see it as a vote against a system that they no longer believe in. So maybe if he did get in, then it would shake up the system and we'd end up with a slightly more democratic thing.
Who knows?
Or it could all go pear-shaped.
Who knows? It is definitely a crazy time. My parents are flying to France to visit me the day before the election. So we will all have voted. I voted. My parents, I think. My dad got his absentee ballot. He's going to vote. My mom will get hers. So we'll just be three Americans just sitting nervously watching what happens.
Yeah.
I probably will stay up and watch as I used to when I lived in D.C.
Right.
When D.C., you have election viewing parties. People get together with their friends and they watch the returns come in and you see who wins. But this one, I will be on my couch just sweating.
Yeah, me too.
Sweating bullets.
I'm gonna stay up and watch it too. I love all this stuff.
It's so important.
Yeah. Okay, Sarah Donnelly, thank you very much for coming on Luke's English Podcast.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks for giving us all your opinions and things on this subject. And, you know, we just hope for the best in the future. All right, then. So, thanks.
Thank you.
Right. So, that was our conversation about the American election. There were opinions flying around. There were words flying around. There was a hell of a lot of detail in there, in that conversation. I expect it was pretty complicated, possibly difficult to understand. I could spend forever untangling all of that and explaining the words and breaking it down bit by bit so that you understand everything. But frankly, honestly, that would take me hours and hours and hours of time, and I just can't do that. So in the end, I think perhaps the best thing to do was just to play you a natural conversation about the US election instead of going through the whole thing in huge amounts of detail, even if it was hard for you to follow that conversation. I wanted to do something about the US election. I think it's really interesting. So anyway, what I'm doing is justifying to you now why I've just played over an hour of free-flowing conversation that may have been difficult to understand. But I suppose if you've managed to listen all the way to this point, then you are convinced that it was a good idea. I imagine some people got a few minutes into that and they were like, oh, I can't do this. Oh, I don't want to do this. And then they gave up. But not you. But anyway, I think it was probably difficult to understand, perhaps because we were talking rather quickly, perhaps because we were talking over each other a bit, perhaps because it was difficult to understand the American accents of Sebastian and Sarah, or perhaps because you just don't know the subject very well, and that made it hard to understand. So if it was a struggle to understand everything, then, well done for making it through to the end of the episode here. Nice one. And if it wasn't a struggle, and in fact you understood all of it, and you feel you understood, you know, the vast majority of the conversation, then well done you. Not to patronize you. I don't mean to patronize you. You know, this is a learning English podcast, and I suppose part of what I'm trying to do is help people to learn English. And my role is to be the kind of teacher guy. But sometimes I feel like I'm a little bit patronizing. Like I'm saying, well done, well done. Aren't you clever? You understood the words. I don't mean to be patronizing. I'm just trying to fulfill the role of the teacher. Of course, of course, of course. You understand. Of course you do. Now, I expect that there are some Trump fans out there who listened to this episode. In fact, you might still be listening. There may be some Trump fans listening to this who got triggered by some of our comments. To get triggered by something, that's when something kind of makes you react. If something causes you to sort of react strongly, to be triggered by something. So you might have been triggered by some of our comments. Maybe you feel angry or annoyed or something. You might have strong feelings that you write about. You might have some strong feelings about what we said. Now, can I suggest that if that is the case, that you take a deep breath before you start writing any comments on my website, okay? Also, I'm sure that there are some anti-Hillary people out there as well. Again, don't spread hateful comments on the website. Instead, I encourage you to present a developed argument and a well-thought-through argument, not the sort of hateful nonsense that you sometimes find under the average YouTube video. Don't write mindless abuse or anything. If you've got angry comments, take a deep breath and think about how to put them into something a bit more articulate, okay? Because, you know, your points of view are valid if you can express them in the right way. So whatever your thoughts and feelings, please do join in the conversation and leave your comments on the page for this episode. In fact, I have a few questions for you, and you can answer as many of these questions as you like. The first question was, how was the conversation for you? Did you understand it all? Second question, what do you think of Hillary? Third question, what do you think of Trump? Fourth question, who do you think will win? And the fifth question, who do you hope will win? Okay, and you can leave any other thoughts and comments that you want. And I look forward to reading those on the website soon. And also, I look forward to seeing little conversations springing up, as they often do on the website these days. Okay, that's the end. Thank you very much for listening, and I'll speak to you again soon. But for now, it's time to say goodbye. Bye, 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 bye. Thanks for listening to Luke's English Podcast. For more information, visit teacherluke.co.uk.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
If you enjoyed this episode of Luke's English Podcast, consider signing up for Luke's English Podcast Premium. You'll get regular premium episodes with stories, vocabulary, grammar, and pronunciation teaching from me, and the usual moments of humour and fun. Plus, with your subscription, you will be directly supporting my work and making this whole podcast project possible. For more information about Luke's English Podcast Premium, go to teacherluke.co.uk/premium info.